Well, advances in neurotechnology are giving scientists new tools to change how the brain functions. Doctors can now implant devices into the brains of their patients to help treat ailments like Parkinson's disease and depression. Companies like Facebook and Neuralink are experimenting with ways to decode information from people's brains to control machines. And consumers can buy devices that promise to help with sleep and even sports performance. But has this technology advanced faster than ethical guidelines? Eliza Strickland from IEEE Spectrum reports.
In a lot of ways, it's kind of like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires.
That's Elon Musk talking about a brain implant for medical use that his company, Neuralink, is building today. But Musk hasn't shied away from discussing the long-term possibilities.
Essentially, if you have a whole brain interface, everything that's encoded in memory, you could upload. You could basically store your memories as a backup and restore the memories. And ultimately, you could potentially download them into a new body or into a robot body. The future is going to be weird.
To be clear, scientists can't yet decode people's memories, read their minds, or force them to do things via mind control. But despite Musk's science fiction-like exaggerations, recent advancements in neurotech have been astounding, says Karen Rommelfanger, an ethicist at Emory University in Atlanta.
I explore how neuroscience and emerging tech will impact things like identity, personhood, privacy, and pretty much life as we know it.
Rommelfanger says most neurotechnologies start out as treatments for serious medical problems like Parkinson's disease and depression, but they won't end there.
To make them really useful to those patient populations, they want them to be less invasive, less surgery involved, or have a smaller device inserted, even make them wireless. And as you make them that way, they become more appealing to a consumer population.
The trend lines are clear to Rafael Yusta, a neuroscientist at Columbia University.
Now you can imagine the future. Instead of walking with an iPhone in your pocket, we'll have some sort of non-invasive brain-computer interface on your head that will read and write information directly into our brains. And this is going to be a new world. And we're trying to put the guardrails on the technology so that we enter this new world, but do it in the right way.
As director of Columbia's Neuro Rights Initiative, Yusta has come up with a list of neuro rights that he thinks should be protected as basic human rights.
The right to your mental privacy, so that the contents of your mind cannot be extracted and read without your consent. And the right to your identity and agency, so that your own personality doesn't get manipulated from the outside and you are always in control of your own decisions.
The list also includes the right to equal access to technologies that offer cognitive or emotional benefits. Yusta notes that both the Chilean and Spanish governments are currently considering laws involving neuroethics and says his group has asked the Biden administration to do the same. But Emory's Rommelfanger argues that declarations of neuro rights don't have enough impact.
There are actually over 20 sets of ethical guidelines and recommendations from high-level science, policy, and ethics organizations. And the bottom line is that not enough people read them.
So Rommelfanger has started working with companies on neuroethics strategies, trying to convince them to build discussions of ethics into every phase of their work from the get-go. One technologist who's taken this idea to heart is Anna Mikes, founder and CEO of Neuroelectrics.
Neuroelectrics is a company that has developed a really amazing technology that allows you non-invasively to record and stimulate the brain. So by injecting very slow currents into the brain, we hope we can help patients with different brain diseases, even treat them at home.
Neuroelectrics recently began a telemedicine trial for people battling depression who use the company's wearable device to do the brain stimulation in their own homes. When Mikes founded the company, she initially thought that any ethical concerns regarding her technology would be covered by the existing regulations for medical devices.
So I thought we were doing a pretty good job in terms of complying, but it's true that when I started to participate in neuroethics debates, I started to understand that there were consequences of the technology that were not covered by those agencies. So there are some blind spots like, okay, you're protecting the patient, but what about the group? What about society?
Mikes says that while the more sci-fi applications of neurotech may be a decade or more away, the time to start talking about those applications is now.
I think there are beautiful things in neurotech and there are other things which I think will hurt us. So my obsession is to bring the debate out so that we can really channel at least most of the users to the good cause, and at least, you know, talk about what would happen if at the end you can communicate brain to brain, right? That's a scenario that can happen, and it doesn't necessarily need to be bad, right? So if I could talk to you brain to brain, would I prefer than talking through Zoom and voice and ears? I don't know. Maybe yes.
For Here and Now, I'm Eliza Strickland.